Welcome to the Voice of Experience. I'm your host, Karen Copeland. Today, my guest is Dr. Carlos Durana, a clinical psychologist working in Reston, Virginia and Bethesda, Maryland. Dr. Durana offers individual, relationship, and couples counseling based on a resource model of growth and healing. Dr. Durana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted. I'm looking forward to talking with you. So let's just jump right in. So there are a lot of clinical psychologists offering counseling. Let me ask you some of the reasons why individuals and couples seek you out. What are some of the problems and issues you help folks with?
Sure. Well, I think that there are several things as to why people come to me. One of them, I think, is the I have a good sense of care and respect for people.
Okay.
I take the time to really listen to them, to understand and really get a sense of their concerns. I also have a good trust in and also a trust and a respect for people, and that I think with the right support, people can find their own answers.
Okay, is that the growth, the resource model of growth and healing that we mentioned in the intro?
That's right. That's what that is about.
Okay.
Yes.
So when people come in the door, is it the kind of the usual issues that people might come in with relationship issues or stress or, you know, I know you focus on wellness to some extent. You want to speak a little bit about that?
Sure. The, you know, like you said, issues of stress and issues of anxiety, depression, life transitions, concerns, but also issues having to do with wellness. And this is where some of the coaching comes in. People who want to have more balance in their lives, particularly today with, you know, the kinds of pressures that we have,
uh-huh.
not only with the economy, but the job market and all of that. People are really looking for a sense of wellness and balance. So it's not just help me with this particular problem, but also how can I feel better? How can I go beyond just the surviving mode?
Right. So it's not always focused on a particular problem. It's more of a kind of quality of life that people are looking
for. That's true. That's correct.
And
yes.
It sounds like, too, what you're saying is the kind of relationship and rapport that you build with the people that you see is qualitatively different maybe than another type of practitioner. They really get to know them, their life, their so that you can help them with these sort of issues.
That's right, and that's right across a number of areas, not only physically, not only emotionally and mentally, but also physically and in terms of what's going on in their life and their work, all across.
Uh-huh.
And I think that also holds true for couples therapy or couples counseling, where there are people that come in to have to have some assistance in terms of dealing with their communication problems or conflict resolution, but then also going beyond that, going to, you know, how can we have a relationship that goes beyond just the basic, you know, resolving of issues and so on, but really enhancing the well-being of the couple so that we're supporting one another in a relationship.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So let me ask you a little bit about your approach. I looked on your website, and we're going to give that information at the end. And there are some things you particularly mentioned in the background information on you about what's different about your approach overall. So we've talked about it being, to some extent, customized and integrative. What about this focus on strengths? That's a little bit different, I think. Yeah, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, you know, the usual model is one of, you know, that it's often used in counseling or in therapy is looking at, you know, what's wrong with a person and how we can help that. But we can also look at what is right with someone.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that has worked for them in the past? How can we identify their assets and their strengths so that we can use those strengths towards change? Because I think people change much more readily from a place of strength. And when people come in, you know, they tend to be a bit discouraged about maybe how they have tried to, you know, solve their problems, whether it's something about their own individual lives or in a relationship. And that sense of trust in their own strengths and capabilities is very important. I think it helps provide a sense of hopefulness, but also a sense of competence that is there. Underneath all of that. And I think what also often happens is that people often will have the solutions that they need, but perhaps they have how do we say, they have maybe through their self-doubt or their lack of self-worth, mm-hmm. Not trusted that sort of inner knowing that's there. They may have dismissed certain things that could be of help to them.
So in addition to helping people focus on what's working, what's right, what's good, where they're strong, where they're talented, where they're able, you also kind of remind them in some ways about all that, and help them, if I'm hearing you right, help them pull from their strengths and kind of bring that back into focus to utilize for whatever the current issue is. Is that, am I saying it right? I might not.
Yeah, that's right. That's totally correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and that's different, right, from the traditional medical model of here's what's wrong or, you know, here's what needs to be fixed.
Exactly. And so that trust in that inner capacity, you know, that there are certain mechanisms that we all have, you know, you might think of them as balancing mechanisms or self-righting mechanisms, that if we go in there with that attitude, I think that enhances a person's self-worth so that they're not seeing me as some sort of magician that's going to just help them solve their problems, but that we're working in collaboration, because what I have to provide, I think, and it's very important, is that sense of caring and respect, mm-hmm. so that, you know, and the time and the ability to listen to them so that they can tap into these kinds of inner resources, mm-hmm. that can then lead them to where it is that they want to go.
And I think that word respect is really important. It is, you know, seems quite different, that you're almost creating an environment in which people can remember and respect themselves almost, and you know, there's a kindness and a supportiveness so that they can get, rather than probably a lot of people beating themselves up, you know, and before they got to you, and so you can help them pull back into an internal state because you approach it that way, and eventually.
Right. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. It's tapping into that sense of self-acceptance, a sense of positive regard, mm-hmm. that we can have for ourselves, or learn to have for ourselves. That is so important.
Now, the other thing I am aware of looking at your background is that you also take kind of an educational approach with folks. It's not, in addition to being strengths-based and kind of customizing, and you mentioned earlier having, you know, using all of the, you know, holistic's kind of an overused word, or integrative approach. So you've got strengths focused, integrative. Tell me about the educational piece. People leave knowing more about these kinds of things after having worked with you. So what, they come out better educated almost, right, from the time spent with you.
Really, I think that's really important, so that when someone leaves, they have the tools, they have the means for helping themselves. Otherwise, I don't feel like I have been so successful. They're having to rely on me over and over. I want them to leave in a way that they're in power. They're in power to find their own solutions. They may have better skills in terms of physical relationship concern, in terms of communication and conflict resolution and so on. But they also have a sense of how they can find their own solutions, tapping into this sense of this inner knowing, these inner strengths.
So there's an overall sense of understanding what's happened so as to be better able, more resilient, more well, if we want to use that term, in the future, or they can write their own boat, so to speak, if they start to tip again, with the knowledge that you provided in the interaction with them.
Exactly. You want to have the understanding, and then also beyond the understanding, you want to have the tools, the ways to recreate, right, and to go where you want to go, so, on an ongoing basis.
Well, so if I can ask you, when you say tools, what do you have in mind that they, what would be an example of a tool that they would have in the future that they might not have had, you know, prior to coming in to see you? I know I'm putting you kind of on the spot, but what would be an example of that?
No, I think that's an excellent question. I think we can look at tools in different ways. We learn in different ways. We can learn cognitively or mentally. We can learn emotionally. We can learn behaviorally. And we can have tools in all of these areas, so that if I'm say, for example, a cognitive tool may be, how do I calm myself? How do I soothe myself so that I can have the space to stand back and to look at a problem and to solve that problem? How can I understand what are the maybe the basic things that usually get in my way, whether it be judgment, self-judgment, whether it be dismissing maybe some of my own insights? Mm-hmm. So I want to...
A tool might be a way of calming. A specific tool might be a way of calming. If I'm getting all anxious, it would be a thing I learned that I could apply. Is that kind of what you mean? Or
exactly. That could be one. And then how do I follow that up in terms of accessing my own solutions? So there may be certain tools having to do with that. The same way emotionally, how a tool emotionally may be in the realm of how do I motivate myself? How do I encourage myself, for example, to do what I need to do? Likewise, behaviorally, there are tools that we may be practicing in the sessions as well as outside the session so that when the person leaves the session, he can follow up with that.
Okay. I think I think it's important for those listening that, they really walk away with something very concrete in addition to the current, the relationship with you, the headway, the wellness approach, but there's something that they can use in the future that's very specific, that's applied, easy to for them to apply, that will help them, currently and in the future.
So. Exactly. That's one of the criteria that I use in terms of am I being successful or not?
Well, let's talk about that because you have a pretty extensive track record of client success. So one of the measures for client success would be them having a set of tools that work for them.
Exactly. I know the criteria might be, the client seeing the result of the counseling and the therapy as a product of their own efforts.
Okay.
That way they accept responsibility for change.
Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of they're not getting more and more dependent on you, which would be you wouldn't consider that an evidence of success, but that they are getting more and more sense of, I know what to do. I'm kind of running my own wellness, evolution, and greater, I don't want to use the word empowerment, another overused word, but is that sort of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
What else would be a part of the client success? Are there a couple of other factors that...
Well, of course, they come in with certain goals, mm-hmm. and we have to reach some kind of agreement as to what the goals are. I mean, ultimately, they're leading that. This is their goals. I just want to make sure that, the goals are realistic. We have clarified those goals. We're in agreement with those goals. And then by the end, they have been able to reach those goals.
Right. So they got what they came for originally, and they've got tools, and they have a sense of empowerment about their journey.
Exactly.
Okay.
They can follow through with what we have done.
Is there anything else that plays a part there in client success, or are those the main factors from your point of view?
Well, I also think, in terms of overall well-being, how do they feel about themselves? How do they, the level of balance in their own lives? Those are all criteria. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I have to pay attention to what their goals are. And if a client comes in with a particular goal, I have to respect that no matter what it is. In other words, I can't get ahead of that. If they say, well, all I want to do is, let's say, for the sake of argument, learn to communicate better in my relationship, and we do that, that's wonderful. That's mm-hmm. what they came in for. I'm not going to try to sell them on something else at that point.
Right.
If that's all they want.
But you hold a bigger, it's like you're holding a bigger vision almost for them without ignoring what they came in, but saying, in addition to that, and maybe when they're ready to think about that, there's sort of a bigger life journey that you can help them with.
Exactly. Maybe. And they can choose to do that as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so let me just ask you, because I know you have an extensive background in a lot of different areas, and there's many things you can provide people, and we're just barely touching the surface here. But is there anything else you'd like folks listening to know about you and the work that you do when they're trying to select who they might go to for some of the things they're concerned about? What else would you like folks to know?
Well, I have had many years of experience. I've been in this field, close to 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so that I've learned a great deal, not only in terms of education, but also in terms of working on myself and understanding myself, which is very important for understanding other people. Mm-hmm. In that journey, I have, I've realized that people learn in different ways and there are different approaches to counseling. And that's why I believe that you have to fit, you have to find what it is that works better for that client. Uh-huh. Some people learn more mentally, cognitively. Some people learn better emotionally. Some people learn better behaviorally. Uh-huh. We have to find the way, what is it that works best for that individual? So I think the experience, the knowledge base, has helped me expand my range of what I do in a way that I can find what best works for that person, and not be attached to my own particular point of view.
Yeah, you don't come from, from knowing your background a little bit, you're one of the few people that can truly customize your approach because you've got the training, the educational background, the experience in all of those disciplines, whether it's cognitive and clinical psychology or, some of the wellness things we just barely touched on, the physical. I know a couple of people you're working with primarily on what they're doing physically in terms of exercise and nutrition and so on. So I think a lot of people maybe say they can provide a customized approach, but it looks to me like you really can and enjoy doing that.
I definitely do. And it's also that sense of understanding of the body-mind connection and how important that is in not only understanding ourselves, but in helping ourselves feel better in terms of overall wellness. And I bring a lot of experience with that in that area.
Well, listen, it's been wonderful talking with you. Why don't we go ahead and give out your contact information, the website URL you'd like people to visit, and maybe phone number. So
sure.
You have several sites, I think. What would you like to direct?
I think the site would be www.caringapproach.com. And there are two phone numbers in the Reston, Virginia area. That would be 703-716-0906. And then in the Bethesda, Maryland area would be 301-654-0080.
And if they were to email you, is there an email address to reach you at?
Certainly, that would be Carlos Durana, CarlosDurana, at Seasons, like season of the year, mm-hmm. with an S at the end, NINOUR Life, LIFE.com.
SeasonsInOurLife.com.
That's correct.
All right, Carlos Durana at SeasonsInOurLife.com. Well, this has been a pleasure. I hope we get to do a few more of these because, again, we're just tip of the iceberg here, and I wanted to thank you for your time.
I want to thank you. It's been a real pleasure spending the time with you.